Welcome to another exciting installment of Live Free Austin, the Live Free Austin radio show. You can check us out every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9 FM, The Big Talker. You can also check out our podcasts weekly at livefreeaustinradio.com, bringing you the news, views, and tools you can use in order to live a more free and prosperous life. And Jason Rink, how are you today? We missed you last time. You're on vacation. You refreshed?
I am, and it's 2011, baby.
The big year.
And, you know, I want to live free in 2011.
The year of freedom.
Let's make that. Is that the Chinese year? Is it like they have the year of the dog, year of the rat?
It is now. It's the Austin year.
Well, it is the year of freedom, because what we can be sure of is that this year we're going to see more attacks on our freedom and liberty. happens every year. It seems
every
that
year.
The growth of government continues to just breathe down our neck and stomp its foot on our throat and squeeze the very life and money out of us. And we don't want that to happen in 2011. So Live Free Austin's here. We're here to inform and educate and also provide solutions. Today, actually, we're going to have Marjorie Wildcraft with Backyard Food Production. And we're going to talk about how do you, you know, do some backyard gardening, mm-hmm. even if you have a small plot of land. What can you do to, again, get yourself a little bit more prepared? The more you don't rely on the institutions of our society, you know, for your very life, you know.
Self-sufficiency.
Right.
Not just government.
You don't want Walmart to be your lifeblood, people.
Nope.
And so we want to take little steps to be free on an individual level. As we do that as individuals, our communities are more free, mm-hmm. and voila.
That's right.
Our nation is free.
We're calling on people not just to be dependent on government, which creates a perpetual growth cycle, be it Republican or Democrat, in power. Not only to be not dependent on government and to be self-sufficient in that manner, to provide for your own defense and to provide for your own security and your own personal wealth, but we're also calling on people to be no longer dependent on institutions that provide food. So, of course, there's genetically modified food. We discussed a lot of this stuff in the past when we had there's a guy from Survival Podcast on.
Yeah, Jack Spierko.
Jack Spierko. And again, food self-sufficiency. You can set up backyard food production systems in a very small area, grow a whole lot of food. And not only will you be self-sufficient when we see some sort of economic turmoil, which is looking like more and more with the quantitative easing, but also more importantly, and this is something that our guest is going to bring up, and the philosophy that she lives by, also the philosophy of Spierko, the modern survivalism,
right.
Regardless if there's a disaster or catastrophe, this is how we should be living anyway. It's more natural, there's more nutrients, it's better for us, better for our family, better for our communities.
Absolutely. And I wanted to clarify something. I did say that 2011 is going to be the year of freedom. We said that. We've agreed. But that is not because John Boehner has the gavel.
Sure.
He just took that away from Nancy Pelosi this week. And I believe that this week, you know, all of the Congress got together and they read the Constitution aloud.
Really?
Yes,
the
they
whole
did.
Thing?
Yes.
So this is the first time they've read through it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, this is kind of funny. It's kind of like, are we supposed to congratulate them? It's like, this is your job. You have one job description. You make one vow. It's to that document.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
You're supposed to read it before you swear the oath to it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And, you know, so this seems just like a big dog and pony show. It's kind of like, you know, okay, here we are. We'll read the Constitution and then we'll violate it tomorrow.
That's what they do on a daily basis. It's one of their job descriptions.
But this is a new Republican Party. This is a Republican Party
reformed.
That, you know, they have learned their lesson, and their feet will be held to the fire by the Tea Party, right?
We'll see about that.
So, you know, we want to talk about 2011 and some changes we'd like to see, things we'd like to see happen in 2011. We're all trying to change ourselves personally. Everybody does, goes out and gets those gym memberships and eats better and whatever. But as a nation and on the national scene, we want to talk about that as well. And the Foundation for a Free Society, you can go to myfreesociety.com. We've got an article up there on the website. It says 4 things for a better 2011, a personal resolution. John, you dug this article out.
Yeah, I came across it just searching. I think it was actually on Facebook, where we get all of our news and where everything is, of course, 100% true.
If it's on Facebook, it's true.
Yep. From Live Free Austin. It's one of our Live Free Austin maxims.
Yes.
But it's basically a resolution by this guy from Missouri, and I posted it up on the site, and then Catherine Bly, she was on the show last week, she actually pointed out that this used to be one of their go-to guys with the Liberty Restoration Project up there in Missouri. It's basically his New Year's resolution for political activism. Of course, Jason mentioned the Foundation for a Free Society. Check out myfreesociety.org. This is up there, and one of the tenets of My Free Society, you know, we calling people to get educated, activated, and liberated. And the activation part is about communicating the message of freedom, the philosophy of liberty to your community, but also to state representatives. And there's also some great information and insight on political activism strategies as well. And that's what this particular piece is. This guy laid out four New Year's resolutions for the upcoming year on how we can create a more free and prosperous America that everybody can enjoy. And he starts by getting his last four resolutions for last year. And it's great to see how they've kind of evolved and moved on to, I think, something that is going to be a lot more effective and is going to provide for a lot more freedom for all of us. His older ones were end the out-of-control government spending, you know, pretty typical, make government more accountable to the people, not allow contentious topics to personally divide people, and get bikes and cars and pedestrians to just get along. So maybe he came into activism through his bicycling and stuff. But his newer ones are great, and we're going to chat about those for the rest of this break and also the next segment, the rest of this segment. And we're going to tie some stories in that we've learned and some guests that we've had over the years. So the first one here, and this is tying back to the good old our buddy John Boehner, it says, let's break free of the left-right paradigm, the left-right political paradigm, which is something we chat about a lot on this show. And a lot of people on the right, a lot of conservatives feel that they're going to be able to, you know, take a nap, take a rest because their boys are back in the reins of government. And do you think that's going to be the case? Can we just, you know, everything's okay. We did our job. We got them in office. We can go back to sleep now.
Well, you know, and that's the thing is I think a lot of people overtly are acting like they're not going to go back to sleep and well, we're going to do what we can. Like they always say, hold the feet to the fire. Mm-hmm. And really the left-right political paradigm is one of the biggest problems that I see in this country, which through this paradigm, this is just a prism by which most people view life. Mm-hmm. And it's that it comes together with our tribalism where we're like, you know, we're part of this team. I'm either on the left or on the right. And when our guys are in control, then they're working for us to
like
stop
a football team,
right? To stop those progressive policies, for example, and to stop those dirty liberals, or with the liberals, it's to stop the Rush Limbaughs, you know, and the Sean Hannitys, whatever.
It's anti.
And what it does is it divides the American people into these two camps where we're fighting against each other. And we take our eye off the ball, which is the fact that the leaders of both the left and the right are really working against us the whole time. They're taking away our liberties and our freedom, and they're spending our money. And so if there's any paradigm that we should have, it should be us versus the state.
That's right.
And
nicely put.
getting caught up in this left-right paradigm is not helpful. So, yeah, I think breaking free of the left-right political paradigm is a great idea. I mean, and that starts by looking at the honest record of these political parties and realizing that, as this article points out, you know, under the Republican leadership, we saw the greatest expansion of government we've seen in a long time.
From Reagan and Bush.
Yeah. Oh, do you just tipped a sacred cow there in Reagan. Don't go there. And, you know, then we look at even the Democrats, and obviously there's been a huge expansion there. And so, again, it's all about expanding government.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, you know, sticking their nose in our business. And yeah, this article makes a good point, which is like, you know, we don't have to personally all agree on Sarah Palin and on Glenn Beck.
Sarah Palin.
Right. Yeah. I mean, is she a good person? Is she a good politician? Do you like her? Do you think Glenn Beck is the Antichrist or whatever? Or Rachel Maddow or all these other. We get caught
the
up
man,
in
Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, we get caught up in these arguments about these personalities out there who claim to represent who we are. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Let's get past that, because the American people, we are not these media personalities. We're regular people with jobs, paying taxes, trying to make a better life for ourselves and our families.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to start looking at the whole world of media politics and politicians and say, how can we get those people to realize that they need to be obedient to our desires?
That's right. Accountable to the people. Yeah, one thing I notice is both political parties, the differences are very minor and acute, and it's those differences that unfortunately the people tend to get tied up in, and I think it has a lot to do with the media personalities impressing that upon the psyche of the American public. But the things that they do agree on are the things that damage us the most, and I can point to four things that both parties have historically, since their inception, always agreed on. One of them is destroying national sovereignty. They're always, both parties are for giving up sovereignty to organizations like the United Nations, IMF, World Trade Organization, NAFTA, Security and Prosperity Partnership. Another one is they are always for eroding privacy and civil liberties, both of them. Patriot Act, of course, Bill Clinton passed this omnibus terrorism bill that expanded many a Patriot Act light and expanded Joint Terrorism Task Forces. Additionally, they are always for centralizing power away from the states and back towards the federal government. And everybody says, oh, you know, it's okay when George Bush is doing it. It's for our national security. Now all those powers are being used by Obama and it all of a sudden becomes a problem. Whenever a Republican might take over Obama's spots, calling on the conservatives out there to hold his feet to the fire, not just let him expand the power of the presidency, you know, relentlessly. And I guess the fourth one is when it comes to taxes and income tax, there'll be debates about rolling the tax rate back slightly or about new tax cuts for the rich. But whenever, in hindsight, in retrospect, it's only going to be, should it be, you know, from 40% to 38%. It's not, should it be from 40% to let's get rid of the dang thing. It's unconstitutional anyway. So guys, we got to break free from this left-right paradigm. Stop fighting amongst ourselves and start working together to bring about a more free and prosperous society.
Well, stick with us. We're going into a break, but we're going to be talking about state sovereignty and states' rights here coming out of the break. We're also going to have Marjorie Wildcraft from Backyard Food Production going to be talking about what we can do to make ourselves more sufficient and more sustainable in growing our own foods and doing this, whether you're in an urban or rural situation. So this is John Bush and Jason Rink with Live Free Austin, and we'll be right back.
More energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503 at bravenewbookstore.com or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of Live Free Austin. LiveFreeAustinRadio.com is the website. Also, be sure you check out our Facebook page. It's growing, and you can join the discussion, join the debate. A lot of times, we've got some pretty stimulating and controversial rhetoric that we're spewing here through the radio waves, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on our philosophy, the philosophy of liberty. And again, we're bringing you the news, views, and tools you can use. And we're going to be bringing you some of those tools to live a more free and prosperous and self-sufficient, sustainable life. Not the Agenda 21 sustainable that
That's
we were talking
right.
about before.
You're using a little sketchy rhetoric
second.
Right there. Michael Shaw would not be happy. You want to check out our backlog of episodes. We had Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. We've had Tom Woods, a well-known, best-selling author and economist. Mm-hmm. We had Deborah Medina. So go check out our backlog of podcasts. You'll find a lot of great guests there. We have another great guest coming on today, Marjorie Wildcraft with Backyard Food Production. But we have been talking about these resolutions for Better 2011. These are like political resolutions.
Activist resolutions.
Exactly. We were talking about the left-right paradigm, how to break free from this sort of idea that we're in this, you know, Super Bowl of power between the left and the right.
Like, us versus them.
Yeah, and it's getting the citizens. We're all against each other.
Slave-on-slave violence is what Stefan Molyneux calls.
Yes, okay, that's good. So what we need to do is we need to start looking at the masters
that's
who
right.
are controlling our destinies.
Senator Palpatine, oh no.
Yeah, so really, you know, we ask ourselves, it needs to be us versus the state. In fact, that's how the founders set this thing up. And they said, look, you're going to always have to be worried about the federal government getting too much power. It's just in man's nature. It's in the nature of whenever you give power away, that power is never returned.
And Lord Acton.
Yes, exactly.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
This is not new. This has been going on for generations, centuries. And so when we get into the idea of state sovereignty, which we began talking about, the concept of state sovereignty is really what was established in the Constitution through the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, really. When you look at it, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, 2 out of 10 were ones that sort of emphasize the fact that any rights that were not specifically given away mm-hmm. were retained by the states.
The people and the states. It's pretty clear. They're pretty broad, too.
It is. And strangely, a lot of people are not very familiar or aware of states' rights, the 10th Amendment, state sovereignty. We're actually going to be doing our part, or at least the Foundation for a Free Society is going to be doing their part, and I'm the executive director of that organization, in bringing a state sovereignty conference here in April. It'll be April 16th. It's called Nullify Now. It'll be here in Austin.
And put it on your calendar.
Yeah, check out nullifynow.com so you can find out more about the states' rights issue. There's a lot of confusion about states' rights. A lot of people think it's you know, just southern states who are mad that there's no slavery anymore.
Yeah, I was actually on a Fox 7 piece. You can check it out at Texans for Accountable Government's YouTube channel. It's with Representative Pete Gallego about a DWI insignia that would be placed on your driver's license if you have a DWI for 2-3 years, 5 years, and then indefinitely. But either way, we were chatting with him about state sovereignty, and I brought up the 10th Amendment. And I got to tell you, this guy seemed pretty clueless when it came down to it. And then when I started talking about nullification and explaining really what it meant, the first thing that he said was, "Oh, we don't want to have states then coming in and restricting people's rights like, they use states' rights in order to hold down the black folk like they did in the civil rights movement."
Well, yeah, and that's really really funny argument because actually Nullify Now is coming to Cincinnati and they're going to be holding the event at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center there.
That's great.
Talking about how states' rights and state sovereignty was used by northern states mm-hmm. against the fugitive slave law.
Yep.
We forget that slavery was, this was enforced by the federal government.
We don't forget they alter the record books because the North won the war and they got to change everything.
Right.
Indoctrination.
But, abolitionists use state sovereignty in order to accomplish their goals as well.
Yep.
And so state sovereignty is not a left or right issue. It's really about people wanting to maintain their communities and be empowered locally and on a state level to self-direct, self-govern.
Decentralization. And this issue is going to come up with the new Republican majority as they get all excited about repealing Obamacare, which is it's totally absurd because, of course, we have Romney Care and he's, they're gearing him up to be the next presidential hopeful until Rick Perry throws his hat, our good buddy Rick Perry, the 10th Amendment destroyer. But
we'll see if we can get him on the radio here on Live Free Austin.
Because my people call him all the time. Maybe we could see if we could work something out. But either way, this new majority is going to try to repeal Obamacare, which is maybe they'll roll back certain aspects of it. But the real answer, the real way to fight Obamacare, this is going out to all the conservatives out there, is through the states, is to nullify it. There's already been legislation introduced in Texas. It's already passed in Missouri. So it's time that we take the power back to the state level and demonstrate to the federal government that we don't need their permission to not enforce unconstitutional edicts upon the people. And that's what state sovereignty is all about. We have more of an opportunity to influence our state representatives, educate them about the 10th Amendment, get them to flex their own authority for standing up for our rights and protecting us from these unconstitutional measures. Many of the times they're emanating from the federal government. The 10th Amendment's the answer. 9th Amendment for individual sovereignty. That's what gives us our privacy. All those powers that we inherently had cannot be taken away from by the Constitution or by any governments. It's a rule book for the government. We need to bring them back.
That's
state
right.
sovereignty. And that's the second thing that this guy calls for in his four resolutions. Let's break free of the left-right political paradigm. And then he talks a lot about state sovereignty because he was in Missouri. And actually, Missouri is one of the states leading the way on the state sovereignty issue. Texas definitely has a lot of catching up to do. He talks about nullifying health care legislation, nullifying the endless wars and military spending, many of which are unconstitutional, and the war on drugs as well.
And what we don't need to be afraid of as a nation is states being different from one another. The founders never desired us to have this homogenous, mm-hmm. Nation of people. Every state's the same. We all abide by the same. No, these communities were supposed to be different. The communities within states were supposed to be different.
Mm-hmm.
The states were supposed to be different.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being, you could go and find a state or a community or a society that you liked and that had
choice.
The same values and the same amount of freedom and ran itself. And there's actually going to be a free market of societies.
Yeah,
competing
societies.
For citizens.
That's good.
It's a very, very amazing concept that we've lost as we've allowed federal government to sort of dictate everything from the top down.
It could have been beautiful. Now, the next thing he says, his number three resolution is think globally, act locally. Think globally, act locally. This is something the Texans for Accountable Government really pushes as well as the Ohio Freedom Alliance back in Ohio, the idea of participating in local and state activism. And one of the things that we're doing here, and it's important to note that the enemies of liberty also do this. They go think globally, act locally, and they act out their tyranny and centralization in a decentralized manner, which sounds counterintuitive, but they're implementing these international controls and these Department of Homeland Security fusion center intelligence gathering apparatuses, the fusion centers at the local level to carry out their centralization. And that's where we can combat them and push back. And one of the things, again, these fusion center systems are being carried out in a decentralized manner. Texans for Accountable Government and several other Austin groups like the Texas ACLU, we're currently pushing back on the Austin Regional Intelligence Center. Thanks to our hard work in the past, we actually managed to ensure that there would be a privacy policy advisory committee to oversee this fusion center to make sure it doesn't collect information on activists and stuff like that. And now it's time to put someone on this privacy policy advisory committee to represent Austin. It says it's going to be a community advocate. So we're thinking globally by acting locally and trying to bring about accountability so they can't suck up all this information all the way up to the federal level. So we're calling on people to come out to City Hall, actually. You have an opportunity to actually participate in some political activism. It's 301 Cesar Chavez, 1st Street, City Hall, this next coming Thursday, coming up on the 13th, Thursday the 13th at 10 a.m. We'll be there in full force to speak about getting a Texans for Accountable Government activist or another civil libertarian to fill this community advocate position to represent Austin, to make sure they're not collecting non-criminal information, to make sure they're not collecting bank records, to make sure they're not gathering health records and all that good stuff. So you actually have a great opportunity to participate here in Austin to think globally and act locally, and you can really see how much power and authority you do have at the city level.
Well, you know, it's funny. That's a strange phrase. I mean, we hear it all the time, think globally, act locally. But none of us can really act globally, you know, like Superman can and the United States government with the largest military force in the history of the world. They can act globally.
Yeah.
All we can do is get together on local groups and then we can influence other local groups to join us in larger efforts through internet and through communication. But we got to take our eye off of the top of the pyramid, start looking at the bottom of the pyramid here where things really happen. Because really, if we can undermine, you know, where there's constitutional violations and where our rights and liberties are being taken away on a local level, we're sort of undermining the entire pyramid structure of power by doing it on a local level. Yep. And I think we get in this mindset thinking that localism is somehow weak or small or whatever, but this is the most powerful place that we can be active. And Texans for Accountable Government have shown that as far as a lot of the successes they've had, as long as along with other groups throughout the country. The last point here, and we're getting ready to go right into our break, and then on the other side, we're going to have Marjorie Wildcraft with Backyard Food Production. The point here on this article is I'm tired of playing defense. And you know, this is kind of this idea that those of us who have been in defense of liberty, you know, we've been defending liberty and defending this idea that we need to sort of justify our position. And that gets tiresome because the default position in a free society should be liberty.
You have to justify your position.
Yeah, those who want to take liberty away need to give us a good reason why we should surrender it. They need to make the case. And for too long, we've been standing here on the side of defense, having to defend it, rather than us saying, you know, look, you make a case why I should surrender my liberty to you. You make a case, a compelling case as to why I should let the TSA feel me up. Mm-hmm. You make a compelling case why, you know, I can't buy Sudafed at the grocery store anymore in more than one box, whatever the law is, because you think I might go make meth. And, you know, all these things where we're criminalized and we're turned into criminals, you know, by default. You know, and where we're proving why we are should be allowed to have liberty,
guilty,
that we're responsible enough to handle it. I'm tired of that.
Yep.
2011 is the year where freedom is the default position. We operate out of freedom.
Yeah.
And we get big government to tell us why they should take, why they deserve.
That's right.
Why they should be trusted with our liberty and our freedom and the protection of that, because they haven't done a very good job so far.
They're not making the case either.
Well, this is Jason Rink and John Bush at Live Free Austin. Stick with us. We've got a great guest. Learn about how to do some backyard gardening with Marjorie Wildcraft. Stick with us at Live Free Austin. Welcome back. This is Live Free Austin. LiveFreeAustinRadio.com is where you can find us on the web. And we're here on 98.9 every Saturday. Be sure to check us out. This is Jason Rink and John Bush. And who we have today is Marjorie Wildcraft with Backyard Food Production. Marjorie used to be in the corporate world like most of us and made a decision to make a change and begin to live a more sustainable life. And through that process of learning how to live more sustainably and growing foods and things, has begun to provide that information to lots of other people through DVDs and through, I believe, live events and things throughout the past. And so we wanted to bring Marjorie on. She's a Texan, to talk about what we can do to live a more free and prosperous life through being, you know, able to embrace sustainable ways of growing food, and what we can do as individuals to sort of take the power back when it comes to our food and what we're eating, and how that food is being delivered to our table. So, Marjorie, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me on, Jason. I appreciate it.
Great. Well, you know, I just came down here from Ohio not too long ago, and one thing that I'm starting to find out is that Austin has a lot more opportunities for growing food from a climate standpoint than Ohio does. I mean, there's some different, you know, you can grow a lot of things year round there, but Austin's just got a great climate, and the Texas has a great climate in order to do this kind of backyard food production and growing our own gardens. What can you tell me about some things that we can be doing as individuals to start, you know, preparing our own backyard gardens right now at this time of year?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that, you know, this is Live Free Austin, because really the whole point is about freedom. And I love the activist communities that are, you know, really rallying against our government, which is utterly corrupt. But at the end of the day, if you're rallying against a system that you are utterly dependent on, like food and water and clothing and everything, then, you know, you have to be really, it's like shooting yourself in the foot. And being able to grow your own food is the essence of freedom. And as I've been on this journey, there is a level, a depth of security in that you just can't fathom how wonderful it is to know that you can provide your own basic needs. So just to step back for a second for the Live Free Austin title, I thought, wow, what a great program to be on.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. And, you know, you've hit on a great point that maybe we should back up in saying, you know, that was really part of your own personal journey in realizing that food was sort of the foundation that you needed in order to have a more free life. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, we've really been graced these last couple of generations with just never having to think about food, you know. In fact, you can have it instantaneously, basically. Just pull up in the window and they'll hand you something. You know, and that is a complete anomaly in the history of the human race. Normally, everybody's engaged for at least a few hours a day in producing their own food. And while we've had that incredible convenience, we've lost a lot. We are completely at the mercy of, say, for example, you know, Dow and Archer Daniel Midlands and some of these big multinational huge companies that provide food. And being able to get away from that, and not only because of the freedom aspect, but also because of the health aspect, because frankly, what they're growing is toxic. It really is just a way to feed 7 billion people, and it's not actually feeding them well. I would say that Americans are probably about as malnourished as some of the poor African or Indian or other countries where we recognize malnourishment. But here, I would say it's even more so. So growing your own food is important on so many levels, other than just, wow, it'd be nice to have some fresh tomatoes every now and then.
Great point. Yep. Yeah, and another one of the big corporations is Monsanto, of course. And
absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. There's this whole philosophy of modern survivalism where, you know, a lot of people are saying you got to prepare, you got to learn how to grow food, you got to have food storage and water because the economy is going to collapse and there's going to be civil unrest and people are going to be coming and you're not going to be able to get food from the grocery store. But you bring up an important point. This is how we should be living our lives anyway. It's so much more healthy, genetically modified stuff, and of course, growing organic. And maybe you can chat about some of the kind of the philosophy that you guys have there about keeping everything sustainable, keeping everything organic, keeping everything non-GMO, and how important that is.
That is, and really it comes down to the reason we got into this. Now, why would somebody with a very successful, you know, business, corporate world background, and we were making, you know, really good incomes, why would we suddenly drop all that, completely divest of everything, and then move out to the land and start wallowing around in the dirt trying to make something grow? And it was because we were actually real estate investors, and we saw that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were going to implode, and when they went down, there would be a chain of events that followed them, the big insurance companies, the banks, you know, the large employers, the retirement funds, this has all started in play in 2008, and it's unfolding now. And ultimately, what we're talking about is you know, collapse of the commercial system that provides you food, and then after that, most likely societal collapse. And that's a very real progression that we are involved in right now. And that's the kind of shocking thing that makes you say, hey, so absolutely, go get some food and store it. But eventually, no matter how, I mean, first of all, most of us can't afford to store a huge amount of food that takes space and money and all these preps, and you definitely get as much as you can. But the ultimate solution, because eventually you're going to run out of food, is to grow your own food. And those skills, you know, take some time to acquire, especially for those, you know, we didn't know anything really. You know, we did so many stupid things, so like thinking, you know, because I'm great at giving presentations or office politics, but, you know, making food grow is a whole different arena. But there was definitely this panic that drove us and this sense of urgency. And the wonderful thing through it, though, is now that we do have some, and that's why all of our methods that we've been looking at are very low technology. Somebody, you know, aquaponics is where you grow fish in a barrel, and that's a wonderful system, and people have some incredible gains with it. But to me, you're dependent on some pumps, and you're dependent on electricity, and you're dependent on stuff that I feel is too vulnerable. So I want something that's really, really simple and really, you know, available right here as much as possible on the farm. You're not going to be able to run in the scenarios that we're preparing for. You're not going to be able to run to the store and go pick up a bag of chicken feed or, you know, a fertilizer or something like that. How do you create all of that stuff right in your own backyard, or if you have a small farm, how do you do that right on your own farm under, you know, worst case scenario conditions? And the, you know, of course we want to do it organic because of the health reasons, and we want to do it sustainably because that's the only real solution. But it turns out that those things are the only real solution. It's not like, you know, because right, if you're going to get dependent on chemicals, well, then you're still needing to go to the store and get the chemicals. And we're talking about the stores being closed.
Well, and it's interesting. I keep thinking about this. This is, you just touched this at the beginning, but, you know, a lot of people think about how the media is controlled by six corporations and how there's all this consolidation out there. You know, banks, it's just a few banks that control all the money and all the loans and everything. But with food, people don't think about it. They don't realize how concentrated the food production is in the United States and worldwide. And that should really make people pause and say, you know, this is a dangerous place to be in. And you know, Jack Spierko, the Survival Podcast, we had him on a while back. I know you've been on his show. He's a friend of the show. And he talks about, you know, the chain of distribution and how that's so vulnerable in this country. And it is. It's a mindset in this nation where we are so used to being able to go and get exactly what we need that we as a culture are very unprepared for any breakdown in that system.
And over the last decades, we've completely dismantled the small family farms that was, you know, I meet a lot of people and they're like, well, my strategy is I'm going to go out in the countryside and I'm going to find people like you and rob you or kill you and take your food. And I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But
yeah, and you're like, let me take a picture of you real quick in case I run into you in the future.
You know, like, you know, if you'd have come before peaceably, I might have been able to work with you, but now I know I'm going to have to shoot you.
Right.
But the real thing is there really is no food in the countryside. Yeah, there's a few small pockets of maybe a person here or an old hippie there or something like that. But the small family farm, that people have this perception they're going to go out in the countryside and find food, and that is just, you know, it's just not there. It really isn't. All the small family farms, the food travels on average about 1,400-1,500 miles. And I mean, you go, I mean, we're here in Austin, you go into HEB and look, and you know, half of it is from Mexico or Chile or you know, something like, or China, for God's sake. We're importing food from China. In fact, one of the other things people don't realize, the United States is, if it hasn't happened yet, it's like on the verge of becoming a net importer of food. Oh, people think we're breadbasket to the world. It's not true. We import half. It's an amazing amount of food that we import. So, we're in a really bad situation. So what I'm trying to inject here is some urgency into everybody to focus on this. And you're absolutely right. We're totally complacent because there is this apparent, you go into the grocery store and there's apparent abundance, right? You could never eat everything in there. There's only a 4 days supply at any given time. And that would, you know, I mean, we've seen during a hurricane crisis how quickly that 4 day supply just disappears.
Oh, yeah. And the unfortunate thing is this whole, you know, destruction of the of America as a breadbasket is really done by design through a lot tighter controls at the federal level, the Department of Agriculture, the FDA, of course, exporting a lot of our agriculture and a lot of our industry. But people have the opportunity. You don't have to go to the halls of Congress to ask for this to be reformed or to ask for the food service, the food production industry to be decentralized. You have the power to get it done in your backyard. And it's really bringing it back to a wonderful American tradition of the family farm and people getting prepared and growing together and having children to work on the farm and doing it as a family, doing it as a community. And we really appreciate your work because it's doing just that. So we've kind of chatted about some of the bigger picture ideas behind becoming self-sufficient, behind backyard food productions. On the other side of this break that we're coming up on, we want to chat maybe about more of the details and some of the how-tos and some tips and strategies from somebody that's really learned a lot in the past several years about becoming self-sufficient and growing your own food. So we want to thank you for coming on. This is the Live Free Austin Radio Show. Stick around, guys. The other side of the break, we're chatting with the producer of the DVD Food Productions System, and we'll be right back.
Attention, Big Talker listeners. Want to get the real information on the agenda behind the Obama administration's policies? Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, has the resources you need to understand the Federal Reserve, international banking, and the forces behind President Obama. Brave New Books is located a block south of UT at 1904 Guadalupe Street. Contact us at 480-2503 or at bravenewbookstore.com.
More energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Welcome back, Live Free Austin. This is Jason Rink and John Bush, as always, on Saturday here on 98.9 FM, The Big Talker. We've got Marjorie Wildcraft with Backyard Food Production, and we've been talking about getting self-sufficient, not depending on all of the, you know, corporations and the Walmarts of the world to provide all of our food needs. I mean, the building blocks of life here, and most of us wouldn't know what to do with a hoe in a backyard if we could. I just realized how that sounded. But anyway, so the question is about food production is, I'm in suburbia here, and I'm thinking about, you know, I want to find a place in my backyard to put this together. And, you know, you've been doing this for a while, but, you know, when you first started doing this, I don't know what your situation is. If you first started doing this on a farm or in a neighborhood or what you were doing, but, you know, did your family and your friends kind of think it was a little bit bizarre that you were, you know, going to tear up your wonderful landscape and put this garden in, or how did that all come down for you when you first put the shovel in the ground?
Yeah, well, my immediate family, my husband and I, you know, we were both on board, and we were like, oh, my gosh, we need to do that. And I was going to focus on learning to grow food while he was focusing on managing to pay the mortgage and paying all the other bills and supporting me. And other than a few circle of friends that we started making and networking within the community saying, hey, we think this is a problem, and we sponsored events in the community saying, you know, like peak oil or some of the other, you know, things that sort of wake people up, and we began to get to know some neighbors through that were like-minded. But, you know, by and large, you know, for most of my in-laws are like, you know, I don't see any problem. And, yeah, you know, they just all agree that we shouldn't talk about the gloom and doom stuff like that. And, you know, I'm like, okay, we're going to have peace in the family. I won't. Every now and then I try to lay some subtle things in there, but they're just not ready to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, most people are pretty down with growing a few tomato plants, and they do it themselves. And people like to do sort of like the little harmless, like, gardening.
Herbs.
But when you get into this whole idea of, you know, hey, I want to supply 50% or 60% of my food needs, you know, that, and hey, this is because one day there might not be food on the shelves. Those messages are a little unfamiliar to people.
They're hard to take, and I understand why, because if you start to look at that and that possibility, then you're talking about your life possibly changing mm-hmm. way beyond what they really want to do. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I do grow about half of the food that I eat. And,
nice.
And I barter and trade or buy from the neighbors about another quarter. And the last quarter, if I didn't eat it, I probably wouldn't be gaining weight. So I'm mm-hmm. doing pretty good.
Nice.
And one of the other interesting things are the things that I do kind of import. You know, I consider, you know, I get some butter from out of state and a few things, avocados. Most of the things that I import are fats. And it turns out that fats are one of the more difficult things to grow on farm or in your backyard. Just to put out some ideas there for people mm-hmm. to think about different kind of crops and different styles. And you're absolutely right. Just having, you know, some salad greens and some tomatoes, you know, that is absolutely the way to start. Don't get me wrong. Start small and start like that. But when you start shifting your mind to, oh, my God, I need probably 3,000 calories a day for 365 days a year, we're talking about a million calories we got to generate here somehow. Mm-hmm. That is a totally different mindset from, you know, having the best tomato the earliest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you can let us know, and we can use me as a test case, wink, wink, to get some free advice here. But me and my roommates have been trying to start a little backyard food production systems in our backyard. We live on, you know, it must be a quarter acre, maybe smaller, in a nice smaller suburban neighborhood here on the east side of town. I know we have some great soil over there. What would be a great starting point? We're starting to put together a compost pile. We have a little bed in the front yard that is just straight dirt, and we were considering doing a couple raised beds in the backyard. Other than that, we got some books. I know there's one, How to Grow More Vegetables in a Smaller Space, something like that, that you've spoken of. They sell it there at Brave New Bookstore, also bravenewbookstore.com, 1904 Guadalupe Street, one of our sponsors here on the show. But maybe you could just give us some first, you know, the first three steps. If someone wants to do it in a neighborhood, in a suburban area, how would you start?
You are totally on track. The first thing I tell people is to start a compost pile. That's the very first thing. Even if you're living in an apartment, you can start a little bin of a compost pile under the sink. If it's done right, it does not have any real offensive odor. And the secret to a green thumb is fertility. And almost any soil that we have or that you can buy is going to need compost. And compost fixes everything. It fixes sand. It fixes clay. It fixes rock. Compost is the key to really healthy, vibrant plants. And healthy, vibrant plants are the key to you being healthy and vibrant. So starting a compost pile is the number one thing, absolutely first. And my second piece of advice for people, and you guys are doing this totally right, is start small. My husband and I, we had probably more resources. We had a lot of acreage, and my husband has very fortunate. His grandmother, he grew up, and she had grown up as a child in her garden, and she, you know, had an acre garden. And he said, "Hun, I want you to, you're gonna," he plowed me up an acre, and we had an acre of weeds. An acre is way too much. Start small. Start small with a 50-square-foot bed or a 100-square-foot bed, just something to get you going. Or if you're in an apartment, I know there's a lot of people that are listening from the urban side, just a few herbs in your windowsill. Mm-hmm. You know, just start. Plants are living things, and you're starting to make an alliance with the plant and animal kingdom, and you're starting to work with them, and you're starting to develop relationships, and start small, but recognize that it's very valuable, even just learning what basil, when basil's too wet or when basil's too dry, you know, just starting to learn how to recognize what a plant needs is very, very important. Another resource, the Bible for sustainable farming for vegetables is John Jevons' book, and you mentioned it, How to Grow More Vegetables in Less Space Than You Ever Imagined. And they've also just come out with a DVD that really goes into more depth on there. I'm a visual person. That's why we made a DVD. And it's an excellent resource. Another one for starting small is Mel Bartholomew's Square Foot Gardening, and that's an excellent resource. So start the compost pile and then start small and move forward. And raised beds are great if you don't have soil with good drainage. So rocky soil or clay soil, that's a great way to do it. A lot of folks do that, especially in Austin and the Hill Country, as the soil is very clay or rocky mm-hmm. or non-existent. I'm a big fan of raised beds. The other thing, in the Austin area, there's, and in most cities, there's a tremendous amount of resource. There's permaculture groups, and there's master gardener programs, mm-hmm. and there's gardening clubs, and there's the botanical garden, and there's all these nurseries you can go to and talk to people there, and there's the community-supported agriculture. You can go volunteer, like on Johnson's Backyard Garden for a half a day, and get a box of vegetables while you're working and learn a few things about what are they growing now.
And you sort of just touched on something, again, that you mentioned earlier, is this idea of barter and, you know, entering into agreements with people in the community. I mean, a lot of people who've got these gardens or these larger gardens that they're managing, they may want somebody to come and put a little bit of free effort in to be able to sort of learn how to do some of this stuff. And so finding people who are interested in the same thing and building that community is critical. And mm-hmm. and gardening is an interesting bond builder. Again, Jack Spierko brought this up, but he says, you know, giving your neighbor vegetables you grew in your yard is like there's a connection you make with somebody mm-hmm. with that.
And, yeah.
and when, absolutely. Yeah.
yeah. And when you work with somebody to grow it, that builds a connection. Can you speak to that?
Yes, and it does. And, you know, and there also at some point comes, like, for example, here we grow, you know, we've got vegetables and chickens and rabbits and geese and small cattle. And just having one neighbor who's into this, and he has goats and bees and all the vegetables and chickens and stuff, and just having one neighbor now expands my culinary horizons tremendously in that, you know, I now get goat cheese and goat milk and goat meat, cabrito, as well as honey. And then, you know, he's getting beef and some of the specialty fruits and some of the things that I grow that he doesn't. Also, the resiliency. You know, I have another neighbor who's into rabbits just like I am. And, you know, every now and then you've got to change up your genetics. And, like, so, you know, we'll swap bucks, or, you know, he comes across on a good deal on some really nice-looking does, or, you know, or just seed saving. You know, a lot of different gardeners here in the neighborhood, we're swapping seeds, or a lot of plants you have to separate them by, you know, half a mile or something, or otherwise they cross-pollinate. And if you want to keep that strain pure, so that means you need a community of people, you know, working together to do this.
Well, and obviously the amount of knowledge, I mean, it's a lifetime of knowledge you can get. I know on your website, and what is the website that you want people to go to find out more about what you have to offer?
Right, it's backyardfoodproduction.com, and the only thing we really have for sale is the DVD, and it's $29, and it's 110 minutes of video talking about rainwater harvesting, gardens, small livestock, so rabbits and poultry, and mm-hmm. we also have a section in there on butchering and how to mm-hmm. do the butchering, and dogs, because you need to look at protection, mm-hmm. And a little bit on orchards, and it's a good overview of all of it. And then we have an additional CD-ROM that accompanies it with some 60-plus documents. So we talk about how important fertility is, and then we give you several documents on different ways to make compost piles with, mm-hmm. with worms, or with, you know, leaves, or with, you know, dead chickens, or what, you know, whatever. We have, you know, a book on seed saving, and we got a whole series of books on permaculture design, and you know, how to tan a rabbit hide. So there's a whole bunch of resources that go along with it, because 110-minute video is not going to be enough. We wanted to be more complete than that. The feedback we've gotten, we made a tremendous amount of mistakes, and as surprisingly, and we went ahead and put it in there, and we showed what we did wrong and why and how we adapted.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, the most feedback we get was people really appreciated that we showed our mistakes, because they've learned from it. It's like, yeah. Oh, my God, you saved me a couple of years of time, because I would have put my garden over there, and now I see I shouldn't.
Well,
know?
And I know that people can go and sign up for a free newsletter there as well. Is that correct?
That's right. We have a free newsletter, and we've got topics on there, like just how much land do you need to be self-reliant? Could you do that in your backyard, or do you need a couple of acres? What does it take to be healthy, and kind of some of the myths of debunking the medical system? You know, do you need a gun to garden? And we talk a little bit about defense and some of the issues we've had with that. What are the secrets to a green thumb? And again, going into fertility with some more in-depth options for you to use that's free fertilizer that you can make at home.
Right.
So yeah, there's a tremendous amount of resource, and we also update on, you know, different things that we've learned in the video. We do a whole thing on corn and different Flint corns and other crops that are that we found that worked real well.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, Marjorie. Well, we want to thank you very much for coming on this show with us, and we want to encourage the listeners to check out backyardfoodproduction.com. Consider getting the DVD. Like I said, I have a copy. There's a lot of great documents on there. I've learned a whole lot, and I'm ready to get started, and we appreciate the advice that you've given. And once again, folks, we can't overemphasize how important it is to make sure that you can provide for your family and you're not dependent not only on government but also these larger corporations in order to provide for your food. So thank you so much, Marjorie. We hope to hear from you soon, and you have a great day.
Thanks so much for having me on. Goodbye.
Thanks.
Take care.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Live Free Austin, the Live Free Austin radio show. Check out livefreeaustinradio.com. Jason Rink and I will be back next Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9 FM, the Big Talker. Jason, it's good having you back.
Hey, and 2011, the year of freedom, join us. We're going to give you the tools you need to make that a reality.
Yeah.